The first lesson is recorded in the book of Ruth, chapter 1, beginning at the first verse. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness, as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons? Who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband, even if I thought there was still hope for me. Even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." At this they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is recorded in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2, beginning at the first verse. "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering, like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying: if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. This is the word of the Lord, the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
It was beginning to get embarrassing. Every few minutes, Henry's wife would jump up out of her seat, smile delightfully, and wave at the pastor. Finally, after several of these embarrassing moments, and with more and more people looking at them with a degree of annoyance, as his wife was again starting to rise, Henry yanked her back down and quietly but firmly said to her, "You're not the grace he's talking about." In like manner, as you look at the title of today's message, please know that I have no particular woman named Faith in mind. Fact is, I have in mind all women named Faith, and all women named Grace, and all women named Mary, Camille, and Joan, along with all men named Sam, Louis, Tom, Dick, Harry, Joseph, Mike, Ryan, and literally men and women of every name who are Christian and therefore have faith. Where would we be without faith? Where would we be? We would be without hope. We would be without any kind of right focus. We would be robbed of so much joy and peace and love. Oh, I surely understand that there are people in this world who do not hold faith in Jesus, who have experienced love and joy and peace in their lives, but they don't know the love and joy and peace that we can enjoy. We, you and I, and all who hold faith in Jesus can know and experience not just human love. We can enjoy human love and the love of God. Because of faith, we are in possession of things that those who don't know Jesus sadly cannot understand and cannot experience. Yes, we have been gifted beyond any human ability to comprehend. For how can the finite adequately contemplate the infinite? How can mere mortals begin to adequately grasp that which is immortal. But even though we cannot fully appreciate the value of all that we have because of our faith in Jesus, still, on this side of heaven, we do begin to understand these things. And we should, of course, be overflowing with thanks and praise to God. Especially is this so, because all the blessings that we have received from God have been given to us free of charge. Yes, God has loved us so much that He has freely given to us faith in Christ. Paul underscores this when he writes this, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this, not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Friends, because of God's love, He has, by grace, through faith, enabled us to believe in Jesus as our Savior. And because of that faith, you and I are forgiven our sins. We are made sons and daughters of the Most High God. We reign with Christ. We have God's help in a myriad of ways this side of heaven, and have the sure promise of a God who does not lie that we will spend eternity in the glory and the wonder of heaven. Are we blessed or what? Indeed, we are blessed. So here we are this morning, gathered to bring God our worship through prayer, song, thanks, and adoration. Here we are this morning to be once again nurtured in the faith through both word and sacrament. Here we are because it is faith's response. Here's the thing about faith. It ever calls those who have it to respond. Yes, if faith is real, if it is strong and healthy, even if it is in a weakened state, it still seeks to respond. It's similar to love. When a person is genuinely loved, and the person so loved is acutely aware of this love, the person being loved simply and naturally somehow wants to respond. It's what love does. So too with faith. The person given faith by God wants to respond to this faith. In fact, it's faith that makes that nudge to want to respond. Look again at what we saw in the passage a moment ago. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. So naturally a part of faith is faith's response that God even arranged beforehand good works for us to do. Faith responds by doing good works. So what are these good works? Oh my, they are more numerous and varied than we can possibly imagine. But we saw three different examples of faith in today's lessons. First, we heard the story of Naomi and Ruth. Ruth was Naomi's daughter-in-law, she and Orpah. Both Naomi's husband and Ruth's husband and Orpah's husband, they all died. And Ruth and Orpah had no children, no sons. And in that culture, if you were a widow, female widow, it meant that unless some family member would take them in, they would have an exceedingly difficult existence. They were living in Moab, where Ruth and Orpah were from. Naomi decided to go home to Israel in hopes of connecting up with some family, no doubt. Perhaps they would take her in. That had to be her hope. She urged Ruth and Orpah to stay behind with their families. You know, that was the only logical thing to do. That's where they were from. But Ruth refused. Here's what she said. "Do not urge me to leave or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me." Ruth was determined to stay by Naomi's side. Her love and commitment to Naomi was strong, and so was her faith in God. She had faith in the God of Naomi, Yahweh, faith that He would take care of them. And do you know what happened? Because she acted on the faith given her by God, she and Naomi went back to Israel, and Naomi ended up marrying Boaz, a relative of Naomi. They had children. Their children had children, one of whom ended up being King David. Who had children? Who had children? Who had children? And on and on and on until one day in the little town called Bethlehem, a child was born to a woman named Mary. His name was Jesus. Indeed, Ruth had faith. And faith's response carried out a good work that God had prepared in advance, resulting eventually in the world's one and only Savior coming into this world. Yes, faith's response. In the second lesson today from 2 Timothy, we see faith's response again. Take a look. Paul writes, "Join with me in suffering like a good soldier in Christ Jesus." This is now the second time Paul called Timothy to suffer for the cause of Christ. He called him to do this in the previous chapter, in chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, in the 8th verse. And the truth is, there have been countless numbers of people down through the centuries who have suffered for the cause of Christ so that others, including us, could hear about Jesus and hold faith in Him. And it is faith, it is the faith within Timothy and all the others that has enabled them to persevere even through unimaginable persecution. In fact, we see Paul addressing this very thing a couple of verses later. This is what he wrote. "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it, eternal glory." My friends, it is courage and fortitude and strength given by the Holy Spirit, whom Paul receives through faith, that enabled him to suffer so that others might know Jesus. And again, that includes us. Clearly, time and time again in Scripture, we see that faith continually responds with what Scripture terms good deeds or good works. In today's gospel lesson, we see the response of faith once again. Jesus and His disciples are going to Jerusalem by way of a route that took them along the border between Israel and Samaria. Along the way, they encountered a group of men who had leprosy. They stood at a distance and they called out, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Clearly, they must have heard about Jesus previous to this. Notice that they didn't ask Jesus to heal them, but merely that He would have pity on them. But you know what? I have to believe that even though they didn't directly ask for healing, that they sure hoped that His mercy, His pity, would come in the form of healing. So Jesus simply says to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." Here's the reason. Jesus knew that as they were going to the priests, they were going to be healed. And when someone had a skin disease in that culture, they were cut off from the general population so as not to infect others. This is why the lepers stood at a distance and called to Jesus to have mercy and pity on them. Anyway, when someone believed themselves to be cured of this skin disease, whatever it might be, they had to go to the priest and have an examination by the priest so that he could certify that they were indeed healed and could re-enter society. So off they went. As they were going, they were healed. Shortly thereafter, one of the lepers came back and was praising God in a loud voice. And then the text reads this way. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked Him. And Luke tells us, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then He said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Faith had a response. Faith moved this man to run back to Jesus, throw himself at the feet of Jesus in praise and thanks. They were all healed, but only one came back. And Jesus made special note of the fact that he was a foreigner. He was a Samaritan. It is therefore fair to assume that at least some of the other 9 were Jewish. Clearly, Jesus is saying that if this Samaritan came back to give thanks, why didn't the Jews in the group afflicted with leprosy do the same? Yes, faith had a response. From start to finish, faith always wants to respond. But there's something in this account that lays before us a word to the wise, or a timeless truth of God. It's this. We need to take care lest we become lazy in our faith. The Jews among the lepers didn't return. They were raised within Judaism. Perhaps Perhaps they took their healing somehow as a right. Because after all, they were Jews, and the Jews were especially chosen by God. In a similar way, we need to make sure that we don't take this magnificent gift of grace, of faith in Jesus, for granted. The two things that I believe God would have us focus on today ultimately are these two things. First, to regularly check to make sure that we are not taking our relationship with God for granted, resulting in the exercise of a sloppy faith. The second thing is to be ever desiring to live out our lives from faith. Allow faith to daily respond to all that Jesus has done for you. Whether it's by an extra act of kindness, or sharing Jesus with someone, or helping to support those who go in the name of Jesus to make Him known, or offering to bring someone who can no longer drive to church or to the doctor's office. Perhaps it's helping a brother or sister in Christ forgive someone who has offended them. In truth, the acts of faith, which remember, God has prepared in advance for us to do, the acts of faith are limitless. Let us, with the aid of the Holy Spirit, seek to live lives that daily respond to the wonder of the gift of faith given to us by the God who loves without end. From start, the beginning of our faith walk, till we lay down our head for the last time, the finish of our race, let us respond to this wondrous gift of faith. Amen? Amen.